Building the fashion businesses of the future together. Welcome to the future of fashion business. The future of fashion business is about helping aspiring fashion entrepreneurs and designers start their own successful fashion brands by learning from the best, most experienced people in the industry. I am your host, Esteban Julian. For more advice and to learn more about how I started my own fashion brand, make sure you follow my fashion journey on YouTube at Esteban Julian. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Future of Fashion Business. I am your host, Esteban Julian. And here with me today, I have Gabriel Spaniel. Now, Gabriel is the digital marketing and e-commerce director at one of Brazil's biggest and most dominating online fashion brands, Carmen Stevens. Gabriel was responsible for creating the entire online marketing department for Carmen Stevens in 2003 and was involved since a very, very young age in the fashion, retail, and franchising business. He has been working very, very close with his father to expand Carmen Stevens to the level where he's at today, being one of Brazil's most dominating forces when it comes to the fashion industry. We were lucky enough to have Gabriel talk to us about the importance of spotting trends, not only when it comes to product and business trends, but also marketing trends. That being said, let's get to today's episode.
So, Gabriel, and forgive me if I'm not saying your name correctly, but I'm pretty confident that I am, although you'll correct me in that in a bit. Did I say Gabriel?
Very well. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, I'm Latino, so I kind of had the upper hand there. You know, I'm not some very language proficient American. Don't worry. But thanks for being here today, man. I really, really appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy, so it really means a lot.
Inviting me for your and I'm ready to you have.
Hello. Can you hear me? I think you're cutting out a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll just wait a little bit, see if it fixes itself. But again, we always edit these podcasts afterwards, so there's no pressure if the connection starts going a little bit south. Hello. Okay. Is it better?
Well, yeah, I'm listening to you very well right now.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, again, thanks for being here, Gabriel. I know that you're a busy guy, so it really means a lot of you taking the time to, number one, sit here with me and share all the information that you're going to share with my audience. So thanks.
I appreciate, man, your invitation, and I'm really glad to participate on your podcast.
Awesome. Well, Gabriel, I don't know if you had any sort of, if you had enough curiosity to check any of our previous episodes. If you didn't, that's fine. I'm asking this because if you did, you'll probably know that I usually start my episodes by asking my guests for a little bit more background on their personal story in the fashion industry. So to start off, who is Gabriel Spaniel? Can you just give us a little bit more background on who you are?
Man, I started my career in retail and fashion very early in my life when I was about 20 years old because of my father. My father's background in the industry is super recognized. And because of him, I started very early working in the industry, acquiring experience while I was also studying international business at the university. And during this time, as I have also a background in design and graphic design, I started to design some advertisement for the brand very early in my career. And it was really cool. I ended up, like, after a few years, founding our marketing department of the company that before we had many agencies doing stuff for the brand, and I started to hire people and to do a lot of stuff in-house. And during many years, when I first really started working seriously with my father, I was managing the marketing department of the company until the time I started then working in the expansion of the brand internationally. And that was a moment, as we are a family-owned business, the company had a lot of opportunities in many countries going on, and I had to check it out personally. So I left then the marketing department of the brand and started taking care of it. And that's what I've done for about 10 years in my life, traveling around the world and meeting with potential investors who would like to be part of what we were doing in Brazil. Because in Brazil, our growth was fantastic, man. We have opened like in about 3 years of since we started franchising, we had more than 100 boutiques around the country. And that had a huge impact in the market. And as we had a lot of stores in Rio de Janeiro, in Salvador, in tourist destinations in Brazil, a lot of women from other countries started to have contact with what we were doing, and they loved our stuff. They wanted to try to do something with us in their country. And that's how we started to grow internationally. But I never really left the marketing ideas, and that's what I still do these days. These days I'm in charge of the digital marketing of the company, although in multiple languages and the SEO as well. But my biggest job in this company, if you look at all my history, was to expand the business internationally to all over. Like, I have worked in more than 25 different countries with the brand. In the time, I was the one who used to sign the contracts with investors, and then I used to fly to their countries. And once I was there, I was training staff. I was participating in all the planning when we were launching the brand in different markets. And I've done that like for so many years. I was on the road. That was a point in my life I had to give myself a break, you know, and be back in my homeland, back in Brazil for a while. And that's what I've done. Back in 2012, I created my own brand. That was a very conceptual business in terms of fashion, very beautiful in terms of luxury. Everyone loved the stuff I was doing. But I worked really hard for about 4 years building my own brand until I really looked at the big picture and decided that I had to come back, you know, and be back in my family business that is way bigger. It was going to take me so many years to get to the same level. And I am also like a big partner of my father, you know. Even the stuff I've done by myself, I was only successful because he gave me all the opportunities to have knowledge of the industry before I could really do my stuff, to realize the best I could do, I should do, is it was to be back with him. And now we have very aggressive plans of growing over the digital world. The retail is changing these days. So we are also changing now. We have to invest a lot in technology, and this is pretty much what I'm doing right now, you know.
Amazing. Yeah, so definitely a long journey, as you say, a very hands-on journey, as you said, learning about pretty much a lot of different things. And I guess that's because it's been, you know, a family business, and you have to take responsibility for so many things, which, to be honest, I feel personally very lucky to have you on, because it's not very often that I get to talk with somebody that is part of such a massive, I think I'm allowed to say massive at this point, family business. But for our audience that does not is not very familiar with, you know, what Carmen Stephens does, can you give them a little bit more background on the actual company and what you guys specialize on, how it started, and then we can move on from there.
Man, for many years, we still are very recognized around the world and in the markets, especially in Latin America, by being specialists in producing leather goods, you know. And that's what my father started a leather tannery back in 1981. And before he had his first shoe factory and handbag factory, he was a super specialist of leather production, selling leathers all over the world. And from designing companies of interior design to the industry of automotive and many different industries, we supply premium leathers. Until these days, we have quite a big business in the leather industry. Okay. And from that knowledge, he wanted to also do something different because he was already supplying leather to a lot of big brands, but no one knew that leather was from his company. Leather is more like a commodity, and he wanted to build a brand. So he started his first factory back in, I think it was in 1989. And in 1993, he founded Carmen Stephens brand. And that is a really beautiful story because our company has such a successful story in retail. In 2015, he purchased a factory of clothing in south of Brazil in Criciúma, a place where the labor is really specialized for producing high-end quality clothing. And he started then over most of our history in specialists in producing do better and better.
Hello? Oh, I think it caught out again. Hold up. Just let me know if you can hear me because I can't hear you at all.
We are back.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Let's see. Let's see if it got better. Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello? Hello, hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me? I can hear you. I can hear you.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome. So yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it's just a long distance because we're having a call from, you know, London to Brazil. So it must be that, but let's just start where we left off because I really, really want to listen to the personal story. And I believe you were saying that your father acquired the factory that was responsible for some of the highest quality leather materials and leather products, and everything changed from there, right?
Yeah, no, this factory I was telling you is a clothing factory because our factory of shoes and handbags that was built in Franca, where we have our headquarters offices and our leather tannery. And here is a city known as a shoe city of Brazil. It's where the best labor for producing handmade, high-quality leather goods are based in Brazil. It's the best place to be when you want to be a shoe producer in Brazil is this city. And these days, we are the biggest company here in the industry, you know.
Amazing. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful story. And yeah, the reason why I asked was because me being from Latin America, I've obviously heard about the Carmen Stephens brand for a very, very long time. I think the thing that I associate most with your brands have been all of those, you know, Brazilian model campaigns, which, you know, that's pretty much the one thing that I remember. I remember this Alessandro Ambrosio campaign. Was it you that was responsible for the marketing ideas behind those campaigns?
Man, we We are not a company where things are decided by one person. We really look at things with all our team together. We have great professionals. Our marketing department these days has 28 people in-house, a lot of people with great background. And at this moment, we are looking to expand to new markets, and we need for that reason people with an international image, recognition internationally, representing our brand. So we are super happy to have Alessandro Ambrosio at our campaign.
Awesome. And what are some of the countries that you have in your sight to in terms of expansion?
These days we are present in 19 countries. At the moment we have 11 websites, all e-commerce, all selling online, but we are launching new sites like almost every month. Until the end of this year, we're going to be selling online in all the markets where we are. The next site is going to be published soon is the Portuguese site.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lot of work. I mean, there's one thing that I do want to ask you, because obviously, and you're not, I think you're the second Brazilian guest that I have. So I guess I'm a little bit familiar with the Brazilian fashion industry. And obviously, although it's a massive, massive industry and one of the most dominating countries in Latin and South America when it comes to the fashion industry, it's still not, you know, the US or the UK when it comes to digital marketing strategy. And more than that, you know, customer awareness on digital marketing. So what made you start implementing digital marketing strategies in your company from so early on? Because I believe you started this whole thing around 2005, right? Which was really, really early on.
That was really early, man. Our first site was published before any competitor of our brand had a site. They came like 5 to 7 years after us. Even the massive, more like massive appealing websites of the sector, they haven't existed by the time we started selling online. That was because I was already doing my studies of technology internationally. You know, back to that time, I was always in Simi Valley, working closely and studying with Bruce Clay, which is one of the biggest masters I had in my career when it comes to digital marketing. And that was a time we were doing consulting business in Brazil together. Because we became friends, I was the first Brazilian that was his student back then. And when people were contacting him from Brazil, he was asking, man, talk to them for me. And that's how we started. And then we became partners. I worked with him for about 3 years in Brazil. And then when I decided to come back to my family business, I decided to focus 100% on what I'm doing right now. And I stopped like doing any other business outside of my family business, you know.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And that makes a lot of sense because usually the best ideas or the ideas there are, you know, most outside of the box, especially when it comes to developing countries, usually come from traveling around, visiting different countries where people have a lot more forward-thinking ideas. And I mean, if you were in Silicon Valley, no wonder you got in there that early.
Yeah, man. I have learned English back in 2001. I lived in California for about 7 months studying English, you know. And I still love California. I go a lot there when I have time. And for that reason, I started meeting people and I'm starting to look at how things were going on. The digital, the e-commerce sites and everything was so advanced compared to Brazil in the US on that time. These days, we don't have that big gap anymore. We have the same technology in Brazil. Everyone has in a lot of places. And I can tell you, we've got some stuff going on in our sites that a lot of big brands don't have. We just have integrated 487 stores in Brazil with our omni-channel connected with our e-commerce in Brazil. So now when there's a sale on our site in a city where we have a boutique, if the boutique has the product, they will deliver it in the same day, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. And was there any... Because obviously right now you have all of this momentum after building this whole thing for more than 10 years. But was there any really big challenges when you were starting out where, you know, not only from a business perspective, but also where customers reacting to the marketing strategies that you were pushing out there?
Man, we broke... Since we have this site, we broke records every year online. People can say, oh, but you started too early. We haven't started early because we started when we had no competition. That was really great to sell online when no one was doing that. And as the brand has a reputation of a trustable brand, because I believe people buy online what they trust, brands they trust. Especially in Brazil, our target customers, these ladies, they don't want to put their credit card number in a site that they don't trust. You know, they are afraid that's going to be cloned. They are afraid of a lot of stuff. But when you got a brand with a good reputation, they are not afraid, you know. They shop online. They started shopping really early with us online. And... right now, we are running our site with Oracle Commerce Cloud, you know, and it's a fantastic platform of e-commerce. And it took us about 1 year of internal development. We are our own developers of e-commerce, Oracle Commerce Cloud. We have a team here of programmers working full-time with us. And part of this team is a teamwork.
And now... we'd like to take a quick commercial break to thank our sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by Your Social Component. At Your Social Component, we help fashion and e-commerce business owners automate and scale their online sales using the best online advertising strategies out there. If you're looking for a marketing agency that completely understands your industry and can scale your fashion and e-commerce business to the next level, make sure you get in touch through our website at yoursocialcomponent.com. Now let's continue with this week's episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess one of the biggest benefits that, you know, you got the direct benefits of starting super, super early, which is obviously that you have no competition and therefore you take advantage of all the sales that are happening online, but also because you started so early, you were able to give yourself a lot more time to develop that infrastructure that was necessary for large amounts of sales online, right?
Yeah, man. I am not allowed to tell you our figures, you know, of the site, but I can tell you our site is one of the biggest fashion sites in Brazil these days. For premium products, there are massive appealing sites that are for sure selling more volume than us, but we are super profitable and we are selling a lot online, man.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And what would you say is the biggest factor for you to stay relevant? Because doing it for 15 plus years, that's not an easy task. And I mean, based on what you've said so far, it looks like you just don't stop winning. What do you think is the most important thing to have in mind to continuously be successful online?
The most important thing, I think, when you're building a brand and when you want to like be successful for many years, is to really deliver great quality products to your customers. You can't keep your customers if your products are not the best and if there's no evolution, you know. Our industries, we produce 90% of what we sell in all our stores in-house. when you produce your own stuff and you put your own name on it, you care about your reputation. But when you're buying shoes from many different suppliers and you got many shops, those suppliers, if there are little problems in the shoe, they will pretend they haven't seen it. They ship it to your stores. A customer will open that box and see, oh, that's the brand I'm buying. Mm-hmm. That's what we are about. We are about quality, you know. My family is originally from Germany, and my father is a very professional guy when it comes to production and when it comes to managing his industries. He's got a fantastic team. And I think, like, what keeps Carmen Stephens always growing is the quality of our products, quality of our handbags, the fact that we still these days are doing production of shoes, bags, clothing, all like in small quantity and a big diversity. We are not a line of production where those professionals keep doing the same movement all day until they are tired. No, we have craft people that are craft people working with us. This is the type of quality we are about. We, in Brazil and in South America, there's no factories like our factory. You're going to see some same level quality of factories maybe in Italy, in Europe, in where great stuff is produced. Our machinery all comes from Europe. When there's a new machine, we buy it. We are always the first in Latin America to have it. We just imported now a machine that cuts all the leather automatically. That is fantastic with laser. And there is a special pen where the professional puts some marks where there's a little defect in the leather, so the machine automatically skips that part. And we also, as we are leather producers, for Carmen Stephens especially, we choose always the best quality of leathers to produce our stuff. You know, we've got suppliers, but only the highest classification of quality leathers, really premium leathers, are utilized at Carmen Stephens.
Awesome. So not only, obviously, the most important thing, focusing on making the best product out there, but also making sure that you're constantly looking for new ways to make your product even better, either through new technologies or new ways to market your product or more efficient supply chain systems, all of those things, right?
Yes. Over the internet, there are several videos showing our production, but there is one really special that I am producing right now. I am directing this project because that's not only about hiring a company to film our factories. I am actually directing all the project to make sure we are going to show what really is important about our production. And that's going to be released soon. You know, I think by the end of August, we're going to publish this new video with all the new machines we purchased, but also showing how our production is really handcrafted. Because a lot of people say their products are handmade, are handcrafted, when a lot of times they are not. You know, I'm showing in this new video I'm producing that people are really doing shoes and bags here in Brazil by hand at our companies. And these are professionals with many years of experience. Our professionals, they don't keep doing the same, producing the same shoe all day. They can produce any shoe we need based on the orders that arrived at our factory in a big diversity, and that require a high knowledge, and that require these professionals to know how to produce and utilize many different machines, not the same machine all day, you know. Yeah. And that's the type of labor, quality, high quality labor. We have fantastic people working at our company. Our employees, they stay with us for a very long journey, you know.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And I do want to ask you, now we've spoken a lot about, obviously, the history of the company, why and how it managed to take advantage of something like digital marketing from so early on. But I really want to ask you, taking advantage that you're an expert in digital marketing strategy, a little bit more of a know-how, you know, for people that are starting out that maybe are not that educated on digital marketing. You know, they're fashion designers or people that just want to start their own business. So can you tell us a little bit more about what type of digital marketing strategies are out there, or at least the most efficient ones for a fashion brand right now?
Man, for people who are starting in the business of digital, I think the first thing they need to do is to become specialized in Google Ads. Mm-hmm. Number one thing, majority of my sales come from a lot of campaigns I do with Google. Social networks ads are easy yeah. to create, but you gotta know what you do. You gotta install the pixels of especially Facebook pixels correctly in every section of your tag of your site, so you know how to track people, you can retarget them. And also, like, this is not only about paid marketing. You gotta grow organically too. You gotta interact with people. You gotta have a great customer service if you are selling online. You gotta create like a fantastic layout for your site. These days, you gotta create a fantastic mobile site. That's not, the desktop is not as important as you were. These days, 73% of our sales come from mobile phones. So if your site is slow with mobile, or if something is wrong with your layout, if there's too many clicks before the person is able to really purchase a product, you're going to lose sales. I always tell my team that we have to make it shorter. We have to make people be able to purchase things really fast, you know. That's really important. And you got to work with the best influencers you can based on the budget you've got. And if you don't have a budget, you got to be creative and do smart partnerships. When we started our brand many years ago, we haven't had, so the budget we've got these days to hire supermodels, we had to do the best we could with what we had. I'm happy that we are, but I think me about as is important, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And it's true, because, you know, people are starting. Hello?
Started to placing and three ads on the bottom of left organic search in the first page. And tell you, like, majority of the. So these days on Google, I'm than trying to do multilingual SEO as I used to do in the past, and I was ranking first page in many countries. That has changed. The behavior search has changed also a lot, and also the local content that is relevant more than the global content sometimes. So you gotta grow geographically in the SEO in a way that Google turned it very complex for you to become a first page leader, as we used to do, like, with a lot of techniques many years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And SEO is one of the things that I think people are the most scared about learning, because it's a very, very deep subject. And because, as you said, is one of the best organic marketing strategies to increase your sales online, but it's also very, very long term, right? So I think a lot of people don't actually want to invest the time and the energy that's required, although it is extremely important to do so.
Yeah, I came up this year with a special team. I hired people, and I am personally training them with my programmers that have the expertise of SEO. And we are coming up with a multilingual strategy, but that has a lot of local content, because things change. The local content is really relevant. If you want to rank, you gotta be local too, not only global, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I mean, we're spoken a lot of really, really good topics so far. I really like the fact that we touched base on SEO, because I think it's a very, very important topic that is not talked about enough in the fashion industry. But I would really love to have, you know, a longer format for that specific chat, just because I feel that if we talk and cover SEO very superficially, people might get a little bit overwhelmed or a little bit confused. The most important thing that you guys have to understand is that SEO is important, and that it's definitely something that you have to start looking into doing whenever you can. That being said, do you think SEO is the most important thing people should be doing when they're starting out, or they should focus on something like budgeting or investing all of their revenue or their cash into advertising on social media platforms or into Google?
Man, being very open with you about my numbers, I'm not talking about figures, but I'm talking about what makes my sites sell more. In number one is Google ads. Number two is Google organic. So I make more money with my Google ads than with the organic.
Yeah.
And then after this, it comes the social networks. That's for me. Maybe it's my target customer behavior. I do my best in all the ways I can, but how I convert more is this. And people are always saying that Facebook is gone, that Facebook is not good anymore. I saw a lot of people saying that. I still sell more on Facebook than on Instagram. And maybe it's the behavior of my customers in Brazil and their age too. But Instagram is great for lifestyle, fashion, and we also sell a lot on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And these days we run ads that go on both social networks and at the same time. But we are super satisfied with the results we've got with social networks, you know. And I don't know how it is in the UK these days. In the US, a lot of people are concerned about the privacy with Facebook and stuff. But in Brazil, like, that's working a lot, man, to run ads on Facebook and on Instagram.
Awesome. But still, second most important source of online revenue is organic SEO. That's so high. That's incredible. I'm really shocked that it's actually beating paid advertising on Facebook and Instagram.
But there are reasons for that. You know, like, we've got a page rank and a relevance because we have created content in so many different countries, in specialist websites in all these countries all over these years, and our page rank levels are high, and that creates an environment where Carmen Steff and stuff tends to rank very well search engine, you know. So your history is very important for your SEO too. Is not only about those techniques of sitemap and content. That time is gone. You gotta build a reputation along your journey that is going to provide you better results in the future. But you gotta write a really beautiful history, you know, in specialist websites. And also link building. We got a lot of link building in multiple countries linking to our main domain, and this domain ranks really well in Brazil. That's something that brings us great organic results, you know.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, because, you know, doing successful digital marketing strategy is extremely important, and it is something that could take your fashion brand to the next level. But you always have to go back to the pillars, which are make sure that you actually have an amazing brand that people want to be representing and being a part of. And secondly, make sure you have the product to back up that brand, to back up that story and back up that heritage. So I really, really understand where you're coming from. Now, Gabriel.
That's exactly what you said made sense. If we go back to our conversation, like a lot of people ask me why I have stopped doing my shoes. They tell me my own brand was great in terms of static, that I should continue. But man, I created such an amazing collection of products at the time, but that came out too expensive, you know. My taste was too expensive, I think. And my numbers, man, my products were not performing in volume of sales. They were reaching just like influencers and people like that were opinion makers, but the real customers out there, they were not buying from me, you know. I tried really hard, but then I had to go back and say, yeah, my father is a master when it comes to defining his price range and how he's going to produce to lower his cost, the volumes he's going to produce. My father is a master of production, you know. I even learning everything from him since I'm very young. I wasn't able to get not nearly to what he does, you know.
Awesome. No, it makes a lot of sense. And thanks for sharing all that with us, Gabriel. Now, there's one thing, or I guess one question that I always like to end the episodes with. And that question is, if you had to go back, maybe, you know, when you were young or when you were starting to work with your father in your company, what would be the best piece of advice that you'd give yourself and why?
Man, if I had to go back, man, I think I would leave my entire history again, man, because when I failed by trying to build my own brand, I learned so much to do a lot with such a small budget, because I was used to always have big budgets to do this, do that in a big corporate, man. When I did my own stuff, I learned a lot of stuff that these days are really valuable for me to lower our cost in a big corporate as well and be better in what I do. But like, I will do different. I prefer to tell you what I'm really proud of having done most of my father's ideas. Mm-hmm. The CS logo, you know, the logo. Hello?
Hello? Hello, hello? Hello, hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Hello, hello?
I am not hearing you right now.
Wait, hold up. Can you hear me now? Hello, hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. I think that went through. It's because we've been having like moments of bad connections, but that doesn't matter. So just to conclude the episode real quick, again, if you had to go back, what would be the best piece of advice that you'd give yourself and why?
Man, if I ever could go back, man, I would probably never have left the company for a few years in order to try something different, even knowing that that was an amazing experience for me in terms of business management. And also by the time I was working as a consultant in digital marketing, SEO and e-commerce, had my own agency, I would have stayed all the time, like from the very beginning until now, working in my family business. I am sure we got great sales like these days online, but I am sure we were going to be twice as big as we are if I have never left my project, man. This is like a son for me. I created our first site back in 2006. And like, that was an amazing experience for me, very young, creating such a successful business in terms of e-commerce, you know. But we already had a brand, like recognized brand, that made it all easier. Anyway, we've done a wonderful job, you know. The best thing I should have done was, in my opinion, to have never left doing anything else and to stay like, I love this company, man. So these days, after I've done a lot of stuff and came back, I realized like how important it is for me to be part of it all, you know.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, to be honest with you. I know for sure I've made a couple of mistakes that I wish that I could go back and just fix. But unfortunately, you know, time doesn't work that way. But Gabriel, it was a pleasure having you on the episode. Again, I know you're a very busy guy. So thank you very much for all the information, the background on the company that you gave us. And just in general for helping, well, firstly, my audience, and secondly, me understand, you know, this complicated fashion world a little bit better. So thank you very much, man.
I thank you a lot, man, for inviting me for your podcast. And I would like only to explain, like, I speak English for many years, but maybe I have committed some grammar mistakes while we were talking. As you are in the UK, people should understand that, you know.
No, don't worry. I think they'll take it easy on you. I didn't notice anything major, so I think you'll be fine.
Cool, man. It was a big pleasure talking to you. I hope to see you another time.
Awesome. Thanks. Likewise.
Cool, Steven. Thank you.
If you want to learn even more about how you can start your own fashion brand, make sure you follow me on YouTube at Esteban Julian. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Future of Fashion Business. Make sure you subscribe to listen to our future episodes.